My text is taken from Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. If you'll just follow along here. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" And I love this. Look at verse 49. "And Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment," now that's important, "rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto you or unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith,'" would you say that, "thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I want to continue again this morning with part two of my message, "Just Step On Out There." Just step on out there. Would you say this after me again today? I'm making progress. I'm not everything I want to be, but I'm making progress. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God, I'm not where I used to be. All right. The man here in our text, known as Blind Bartimaeus, was not considered to be anyone special or anyone really of importance. We don't read anything about that. The Bible says that he was blind and he was a beggar. And it's likely that he had maybe been a panhandler, if you please, most of his life. Being in the condition, every morning, his friends would lead him to the gate of the city, where he would sit and he would beg then for his living. He had nothing going for himself. And in the eyes of those around him, he was more of a liability than an asset. He was named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. You've got to understand, the name Bartimaeus happens to mean honorable, son of one who is esteemed. So if names mean anything, Bartimaeus was living far below what God had planned for his life. And guess what? So are many of God's people today in the same shape. He was also called the son of Timaeus. And Timaeus means highly praised but polluted. You see, Bartimaeus was supposed to be honorable, but this generational heritage was polluted, and he now found himself to be a blind man and living far below his privilege. And to top it all off, he lived in Jericho. The name Jericho means a place to breathe or to smell with pleasure. Understand, you can be in a good place, but in a bad way. Can you say amen? You can be in a prosperous place, but not be living a favored and blessed life because of, and we can fill in all the blanks with a myriad of reasons. So here is blind Bartimaeus hanging out at Jericho's gate. And all of a sudden, he hears a commotion, and word travels then down to where he is sitting and telling him that Jesus of Nazareth had come to Jericho and was now leaving the city. And he just happens then to be walking through this this particular gate where blind Bartimaeus was stationed that day. Understand, Jesus had gained a lot of popularity, and he was getting very well known by this time in his ministry. A lot of people were curious about the man Jesus, and Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus was a healer. He heard that he was a miracle-producing prophet. So he knew this was his chance. Perhaps it would be his only chance. Often would he ever be this close to this man called Jesus again, given the circumstances. There was something now so very desperate within Bartimaeus that he began to cry out. He cried, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And when he wasn't sure that he was being heard over the crowd, he yelled even louder and louder and louder until he was making a spectacle of himself. You see, in order to receive from the Lord, Bartimaeus had to strip himself of his pride and of his self-importance and now even his dignity. He had to humble himself and not care what other people thought about him. Here we go now. How many times do you think people have missed God because they were too concerned about what others thought? I mean, Pastor, I'm taking a chance with my reputation by just being here today. What will my Facebook friends think if I go up for prayer in that Pentecostal church? What's worse, what if I start crying? I'll mess my mascara up. Or if I start acting funny, like all happy and stuff. What if I start laughing and I fall down? Or heaven forbid about speaking in those unknown tongues. What if I embarrass myself? Well, my answer to you is stop it. Stop it. Now, would you help me a moment? Would you just look at your neighbor with an attitude? And this is the way you look at them with an attitude. You go, you know, and say this. Who cares? Just step on out there. Amen. Who cares? I have a question for you this morning. What is more important, your image or your breakthrough? What's more important, your pride or your miracle that you so desperately need at this very moment? Understand with me that Bartimaeus had to ignore the opposition if he was going to receive that very day. And so we saw in our text in verse 48, where there were people that were telling him to be quiet and not make a scene. And guess what? That is one of the biggest tools of the devil, even to this day, that he loves to use on folks. It's called intimidation. Watch this now. The devil can get you to be silent in your desperation, to not speak out in your time of need. And guess what? He has got you compromised. Don't you dare let that happen. Speak out. Tell him exactly how you feel and what you need. Tell him the desires of your heart. Yes, he already knows. He's God Almighty. But he wants you to tell him. He wants you to speak it out. Listen, if the devil can make you feel unworthy, listen, he will silence you. And you need to hear me, that's the last thing in your life that needs to happen. If it can make you stop confessing and stop declaring God's word as yes and amen over your life and that of your family members, if it can get you just to back down in your faith walk, if it can intimidate you in doing nothing, intimidate you into being silent and dormant, listen, if we go quiet If we let that happen, it won't be long until our prayer life will cease. Can you say amen? And then our faith will cease. And what doesn't need to happen is our hope will cease. And yes, our blessings will even pass us right on by while we stand there silently letting it happen. Now, this is a word for somebody. Don't let the enemy silence your voice. In our story today, we find something rose up in Bartimaeus. Something inside of him said, this is my best chance. I must get to Jesus. I must get his attention. And we see he certainly did. He stepped out. And I like to say, he stepped out across the chicken line. But now, in this culture, I don't want to offend anybody that might be raising chickens, okay? In spite of the opposition coming against him. Are you okay, Brother Norris? You okay with that? Okay. He stepped across the chicken line. The Lord heard a cry of a desperate individual, and it stopped the Lord in his tracks. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. When the Lord heard him, he called for him. Can I just tell you, when you cry out to the Lord with your needs, he promises in his word to hear us when we cry. He loves you as much and will stop and meet you at your need. Again, verse 49 says, Jesus stood still. When the Lord heard him, he called for him. And in response to the Lord calling for him, notice with what Bartimaeus did in verse 50. It says he took off his outer garment. Understand with me, this outer garment identified Bartimaeus as a blind man. Now, we know Jesus accepts us just the way we are. Yet, aren't you glad he loves us enough to not leave us the way we were? Bartimaeus wore something that identified him as a particular kind of person. He was still blind, but he just knew he had to do something on his part. He no longer wanted to be identified in that particular way. You see, in order to identify with the new, we must first do away with the old identity. Understand, you cannot hang on to both. You need to make room for the blessings before it comes. Make room for the breakthrough before it has arrived. Bartimaeus just knew in his heart and his mind, he had to get rid of everything that identified him with the old. When he found himself then standing before the Lord, he was asked, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Simply meaning, what do you want me to do for you? Now, when you think about that question in the natural, guess what? It seems like this is a real no-brainer. I mean, Jesus, you have a blind man standing in front of you, and you're asking, what is it he wants? The guy is face-to-face with Jesus. And it didn't take any great revelation. It didn't take that of a rocket scientist to see what the guy's problem was. So now we can think then of two reasons in why it is Jesus asked the question. Number one, it's important that we verbalize our need to the Lord. We need to say out loud with our mouth what we need. Understand, Jesus already knows your heart, and he already knows your need before you ask. Yet, he still wants us to ask so we can receive. And second, Jesus wanted to help him at his perceived point of need. You see, even though he was blind, perhaps he just wanted some money at that moment. And if that had been the case, then Jesus would have probably just given him some money. But Jesus would not then have healed him if that's all he wanted was money. We see in the last verse, verse 52, Jesus said his faith is what made him whole. Blind Bartimaeus, he had faith in Jesus. He believed him for who he was and not just for what he could do for him. Understand with me, when we pursue the healer, guess what? The healing will come. And this guy's faith made him whole. Did you know sometimes our faith, for whatever reason, is stronger when we're at our worst or when we are at our lowest? Here in our story, Jesus said faith made him whole. And the last sentence says he followed Jesus in the way. He became a disciple and he followed Jesus. And this is a part that some people never get. They receive the answer to their prayer. They get a real miracle and their life gets better. And then they don't think they need God anymore, at least not until the next crisis. And so therefore they don't become disciples and they don't follow Jesus in the way. And sadly, they will always be a taker and never a giver. But not Bartimaeus. He makes a decision then to follow Jesus, and he becomes a true believer. He didn't just use Jesus to get him out of a jam. He made a decision then to devote himself to the one who healed him and who made life completely different. Again, what do we find Bartimaeus doing? Bartimaeus stripped himself of his pride, of his self-importance, and his dignity. In other words, he had to humble himself and not care what other people thought of him. Well, Lord, I don't care what it looks like when you finish with me. I just want you. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. I hope you're hearing me today, because Jesus is calling you today. He's calling you today. He's calling you to move up higher, some of you. Over in the Old Testament of our Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 5, there is another story, and this is a story of a man by the name of Naaman. He also had to get that to that same place that Bartimaeus did for his healing. He had to be stripped of his pride, and he had to listen to a little servant girl. He had to step out there in that muddy Jordan River and dip 7 times. He would have never received his healing and become free of leprosy. But he chose to humble himself and obey the word of the prophet. Bartimaeus also had to ignore the opposition. There were people telling him to be quiet, to not make a scene. And again, that is one of the biggest tools of the devil that even to this day he uses. It's called intimidation. If the devil then could get you to be silent in your desperation and not step out there in faith, listen, he has got you compromised. And if you allow him to do that, listen, he will gloat over you and he will laugh over you and will constantly let you hear the words, "Aha, I gotcha. I knew you couldn't do it." Bartimaeus knew that for himself, he also had to throw away that outer garment he was wearing before he came to Jesus. You see, in order to identify with the new, you must first do away with that old identity. When we come to Christ, we may not be wearing an outer garment like this in the natural, but we have to make a choice or a decision that from this moment on, I'm leaving that old life behind. Simply meaning that old way of thinking, that old way of talking, that old way of doing, that old way of acting, that old way of reacting, thinking that you have to have the last word on the subject, even hanging out with the old crowd. I have to leave them behind. I'm going for the new life. I'm simply talking about making a right choice, coming to the Lord. Blind Bartimaeus had a faith that made him whole. He had faith in Jesus, not just for the healing. Again, when we pursue the healer, the healing will come. This guy's faith, the Bible says, made him whole. The word whole is the word sozo. I remember Brother Springer preaching on that message about sozo, about being made whole. Listen, it covers the whole enchilada. And right this moment, I'm hungry, so it's okay. A little sauce on top of that, a little rice and beans, a few tortillas. It covers the whole thing. Not only healing, but salvation and deliverance and protection and provision and, yes, all the way to prosperity. Prosperity in every area of your life. And remember, we don't need a whole lot of faith. The Bible says we just need the faith, maybe the size of a mustard seed will work. Or we just need really to use what faith we've got. Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. Jesus had so impacted his life that he decided to get up and step out and follow him on that path that he was on. And follow him in everything that he said, everything that he did, becoming then a true disciple. Reese, would you come in closing this morning? Can we determine anew that we will be obedient to the Master's voice? Be obedient to his leading. And as we are walking daily in the way of Jesus, remember, we have to stay alert in the spirit. Alert to the tricks and to the lies of the enemy, because he will lie. He will intimidate you. Continually praying in the Holy Ghost. Discerning and listening to that still, small voice of the Lord. And listen, if we will ask him, the Lord will put people like Bartimaeus in our path for us to witness to and to be an example to. He'll bring folks into our path from all walks of life who are hurting, Brandon, and broken. And guess what? Whose attitude may be ugly and smelly. And that will be why it's so important for us to already be filled with the Holy Ghost and the gifts working in us and through us, so we will know then how to pray and how to help those in need. I can't answer for you, but I want to stay strong, and I want to be in a place of where I'm unwilling to give in at every whim or any trick that the enemy throws at me. Let's stay in that mode of receiving from the Lord. Why? Because it can be that conduit of continually giving out and being refilled. And guess what? We will find then ourselves truly doing business for the King of Kings on his behalf. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ministry team, would you come on down? Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord is here. He's already done a work in our lives. But he's ready to do some more. He's ready to work in your life. Are you willing? Are you willing? First of all, I'm going to give you a chance. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've not made Him Master and Lord, you have the opportunity. close your eyes right now, right where you're at. If there's someone in the house here that does not have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, if you've never made Him Lord and Savior, and you desire to do so today, right where you're standing, would you just raise your hand? Say, Pastor, I want to do it this day. You're not sure if the Lord would come today. Are you for sure that you would go to heaven? If you're not sure, you can be sure today. If you're one of those, would you just raise your hand, Lord? Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure if the Lord come today, whether I would be ready. Is there anybody? I'm giving you an opportunity today. One more time. If you've grown cold in your spirit, you know it. You just don't have the fervor you used to have. The embers are there, but there's just not a fire burning like it maybe used to. Be honest to say, Lord, I want more. I want You. I need You. He already knows what's going on in your life. He's drawing today. Don't pass this opportunity by today. All right, you can look up at me. He's calling you. He's stopping just for you today. He's stopping right now just for you because He's heard you cry. Some of you have called out to Him. Some of you cried out in the midnight hour last night. Some of you were asking for something on the way to church today, something you need so desperately. The Lord said, I'm here. I'm standing still for you right now. If you'll come, I'll do it for you. Now, as we were worshiping, I'll give you the opportunity. We're right here to pray with you. As we're worshiping today, the Lord just put it in my spirit because I've been praying. I said, Lord, whatever You want to do today. Something about jobs today. If you need a new job, if you need something to change on your job, you need more money, you're just not making it. If there's some problem you're having with the boss, guess what? The Lord will, He'll work on him, but guess what? He'll work on us too. If you'll be honest, say, okay, Lord, what is it I need to change? What do I need to change? Years ago, man, I had one of them bosses. Oh, my gosh. Many, many years ago. I mean, he was. Every time he walked in the office there, every word out of his mouth was foul. Just demeaning, putting you down. So, okay, Lord, what do I do? You take authority. You walk into that office with authority. You take authority over that. You command the devil to be quiet. That's working through that man. Shut his mouth because you spoke. You got the power. Guess what? That guy come in that day, he's the nicest guy you ever met. There wasn't a curse word coming out of him that day. So guess what? I just made that a daily thing. People started questioning, are you okay? I don't hear them words you used to say. God will do it for you. Why? Because you've got Jesus living inside of you. You've got the power. Greater is He that is what? In you than he that's in the world. Okay, you need something to change on your job today. You need a new job. You need more money. Just something needs to change. He's ready for you today. Jesus is ready. He will pray with you. He will pray with you. Brother Tony, go ahead. Hallelujah. 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 Ministry. Ministry. Hallelujah. Anything in ministry. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you see the family today. See the Springer family. Do your work. All right, anybody else? Is something being delayed? Something that you're aware of and it's being delayed? Today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today's your day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.